So when we discuss the world of the Siyal HaZazel, Siyal HaShem, we have to put ourselves back and see a quick overview of what's going on in the Avodah, and then recognize how this is really passes on an incredibly important message to each and every one of us in our personal lives, particularly those of us right now found in spending the time in yeshiva or seminary. We see on Yom Kippur in general right now, on Yom Kippur, every Jew standing next to each other wearing all white. Right now we're all sitting together as one tzibur, one community. And then we're all seemingly alike. Just like at the beginning, we see the Siyar LaZazel and the Siyar LaHashem are basically, they have to be carbon copies. They have to be ke'achat. They have to be similar in height, similar in monetary value, similar in potentially personality, according to the opinions. And everyone is really coming to blend together, and it's really a tapestry of everything runs to one another. We're really basically similar. And then we continue to see the Kohen Gadol then comes, approaches the Seirim, draws the lot, says, one's LaHashem, one's LaZazel. Once the lot's drawn, the Seir LaHashem is slaughtered and the blood is sprinkled by the Kohen Gadol and the Kodesh Kedashim. The Kesher Shel Zehorit, the red string, is tied to the horn of the Seir LaZazel. Whereas Lada the Mikdash to the Tzuk, where it was designated by the Ishiti, where he was pushed off to his predestined death. And the person who pushed off the Siyal HaZazel himself would be lingering by the end of the cliff to wait and see whether or not the string turns white and red, and then he returns to the people in the Mikdash and tells them what happened, whether or not it was earlier on when they actually had the live string, they had the string there, or later when they had to wait for him to come back. And they waited so eagerly to hear his news, whether they would erupt into song and dance if it turned white, or whether or not they would basically be upset and cry, and as the Gemara tells us, they were mitbayishim, they were embarrassed if it stayed white. The process which the Seir goes through is actually the process of each and every Jew in this world. We start off standing next to each other. We're standing next to our twins. We're all one, you know, of many within the Klal Yisrael. We're a single neshama. We're a chelek elokim imal. And that we're no different than another. No one person gets a neshama bigger than anyone else. No one person gets a chelek elokim imal bigger than anyone else. We all have identical features. We all are the same. We're all members of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's army. We're simply standing there and waiting. And during the waiting process, we do everything in our power to reveal our tafkid. We do, all of us in life, we're trying to figure out, what should I do? Should I go to law school? Should I go to medical school? Should I do Shana Bet? Should I do Shana Gimel? Should I even go to seminary or yeshiva to begin with? What exactly am I trying to take care of? There's this whole waiting process, and where we just constantly, everyone just wants to know. Everyone wants to know whether they go to a fortune teller, whether or not they, however it is, they go to a mekubal. They want to figure out what stands for them in the future. And every goat, as it stands there waiting for the goral, each of the goats is asking, you know, they're each like, I want to be LaHashem. I don't want to be LaZazel. Better to be slaughtered and sprinkled in the Mikdash than to get thrown off a cliff. But they all have their machshavot. They all have their thought processes. You know, for those that claim goats don't think, I guess, you know, take it or leave it. But this is something that, you know, the goats are worried. They want to know what's going to be with them. The goats are doing all they can to figure out which shlichus is going to be more fair for them. There's trepidation, there's nerve-wracking moments of figuring out what's going to be until the Kohen Gadol sticks his hands into the box, and the goats find out which is LaHashem, which is LaZazel. Once they have been zochet, this divine intervention, there's been a lottery that basically says, you are LaHashem, you are LaZazel, this is what you're going to do. Then the vision and discovering and how that actually comes, and the preparation truly begins. Only now, once the entire nation now waits for us to set out on our personal shlichut, the entire country, the entire people is standing there watching each goat. You're going LaHashem, you're going LaZazel, and everyone's waiting for you because you carry such an important weight. Your role is so important, everyone needs you. And they're watching you with anticipation, waiting for updates of your assignment. And we prepare ourselves standing in the base of Mikdash. The goats prepare themselves as Klal Yisrael anxiously wait along following our journey. The string is tied to the goat's head, and the prayers are placed upon his head as the liaison of the entire nation. And just like that, the goat goes on its path to fulfill its role in this world, alone in the desert, with the exception of a lone man guiding him on his journey. That man represents in each and every one of us, whether that's a HaKadosh Baruch Hu, your Rebbe, teacher, spouse, parent, sibling, mentor, or friend. The route is everlasting, it's arduous, it's bumpy, it's hot, it's sunny. And there's less than desirable conditions as we hike through the desert. Together we go step by step, alone on our mission, with our lonely man of faith. Suddenly in the distance we recognize that we're approaching the peak, we see the hill, and after all our preparation, our work, we arrived at our desired destination. And along the way, we've been greeted and stopped by our friends, by our companions, by our neighbors, who check in on us. How are you doing? Do you want something to eat? Do you want something to drink? Everywhere we go, There's people there to support us. But it's your destination. It's your journey. You control your own destiny. There's people who are there to support you. But it's you going off on the desert, figuring out how you're going to do it on your own. And we stand there for a moment by the edge of the cliff, appreciating the view, until all of a sudden, some power outside of us comes and pushes us, throwing us in the air in a downward spiral. We tumble towards our final destination, crashing, free-falling along the rocks into the abyss. We plunge and we encounter what lay at the bottom of the gorge, a wonderful bloody death. After plunging to our passing, our trusty guide, our loyal friend, observes what's happened to us and checks what happened to the string. Is it white or is it red? And armed with this knowledge, he returns back to the entire nation who's been waiting to hear, what happened to you? What happened to your journey? And when presented with the news, the weight of apprehension is lifted, and either a giddy atmosphere of joy and elation and celebration sets in, or remorse and mourning. This is the path of the wandering Jew. We all start out alike, twins born into this world, Bitzelem Elohim, waiting for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to reveal our tafkid. We do everything we can, we do what's in our power to reach the pinnacle at the moment where our lot is drawn and Yad Hashem divulges to us what will be. During this entire process, we have to recognize that Klal Yisrael relies on us, appreciates us, needs us, and is counting on us. During this process, Klal Yisrael stands there waiting, watching you, because they need you. Because every single person in this world carries such a unique and important journey and such a specific tafkid for everyone else. Your unique, one-of-a-kind skill set is necessary to fill a void that couldn't have been, as we say, as Chazal tells, Bishvili Nivra Olam. The world was created for you because without you it wouldn't have been complete. And after the work in the Torah HaKadosh Baruch Hu with the Shlichim in this world, just like the Kohen Gadol and the Mikdash, you figure out what your tafkid is, you figure out what it is you should be doing, recognizing the skills, the talents, the opportunities and the abilities that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you. And you feel the lottery cards lifted and it says, lawyer, doctor, rabbi, receptionist, janitor, teacher, accountant. Whatever it is, you recognize that you have something to do in this world to contribute to society and to our nation as a whole. This is your calling and your path is paved for your impending travels. You stand in the Mikdash and Knesset Yisrael watch as you take your first very steps out, embarking on your journey. The Tzibur watches as the string tied to you. They want to see what happens with you and your journey. You accept your tafkid. You represent a mission. You accept the responsibility that comes with it, and you understand the ramifications of your journey and how it can affect all of Klal Yisrael and the world as a whole. You receive the extra prep time as you go from your time, and your time has come to leave. You go out on your voyage with much apprehension and unease. You leave the warmth, the home of the Beis HaMikdash. You leave Am Yisrael behind as you step outside into the world of the unknown, into the desert. And just like in the wilderness, you're alone by yourself. But there's always the Ishi Tzvi with you. You always have your friend, your mentor, you always have a Kadosh Baruch Hu, your spouse, your parent, your sibling, your Rebbe, your teacher, who's there no matter what to reach out when you need help. But it's your journey. You walk the rocky roads of the desert. You go side by side with your guide. But it's not a guide who leads your way. It's a guide who's there to offer you hope, who's there to offer you assistance when you need. Regardless of whether or not you know where you're going, the support's there with you. This is the stage in life. You have your preparation time when you're standing in the Mikdash, when you're standing in the Beit Midrash. You spend your time in Yeshiva, you spend your time in Midrashah, learning each and every day. Davening three times a day, going to Seder, going to Shir, learning in your own free time, building up a foundation of Talmud Torah for your entire life. That's what happens with the Sirim as they stand in the Mikdash. And eventually the time comes at the end of the year, at the end of your year in seminary, the end of your year in Midrashah, the end of your year in college before you embark on your job, whatever it is at every step in your life, you have your preparation and then you have your mission. And now all of a sudden the time has come to step out of the ivory tower, to step out of the walled, safeguarded city where you've been learning, where you've been preparing, and you step out into the world embarking upon your mission. And just like that, you're alone again with your faithful friend. You have to learn how to grow in difficult places, and that demands exertion and work, where you have to constantly stress and go hard and constantly walk through the desert, through the rock, and through the heat. And after a long trek, you reach your destination and you take a moment just to enjoy the view. You finally succeeded. You've gotten to your destination. What some would call the golden years, what some would call a moment of appreciation of all of you, that you've done in your life. And you finally have mixed emotions and fear and excitement overcome you as the mystical moments of the unknown have ended. But now is a moment where you stand there appreciating and missing that which was. But without a moment's notice, you find yourself all of a sudden tumbling downwards as that climax, that peak, that moment of recognition all of a sudden comes to an end. You've realized you've actualized your potential, and you find yourself free-falling, losing your very function in this world. As you plummet from the precipice, you encounter the air, and inherently changes with every touch and every turn. Like a heart which pumps, the blood reaches the extremity, or a tree whose bitter is the air from afar. Your very tumble shapes the world as a whole. You change each and every encounter, influencing them for the better. You perform your tafkid masterfully, having prepared in the base of Medrash and in the Mikdash to the desolate desert. You've gone and done your tafkid for Klal Yisrael. Only after abundant freefall, you fatally face the floor of the canyon, where you reach your final stop, and there you remain for eternity. And after a long passage from being a Mer Neshama, B'Tzel Melokim, and growing through in the base of Mikdash, from learning together, from growing together, recognizing and appreciating what your tafkid is, recognizing what your shlichus is, the Sir HaMishtaleach. The Chazal more often than not use the term Mishtaleach because there's a shlichus. You're fulfilling a shlichut for the nation. You're going out, whether it's the Ishiti who has a shlichus from the Kohen Gadol, whether it's the Kohen Gadol who has a shlichus from the people. We're going out because we're representing something bigger than ourselves. Our manner, our message, our act in life is just a smaller piece of something so much bigger. And you finally actualize your shlichus, and you represent the people. Only after this does your faithful friend, your guide, he who was with you along the way, recognizes your true impact. You could look back after the fact and say, wow, how much did I accomplish? How much did I really do? Only then do we recognize our success and see whether or not the string turned white or whether or not it stayed red. This is what happens often. We hear so much about the Nobel Prize. How many of you know what the story of the founding of the Nobel Prize?
I do.
Great. The Nobel Prize was founded by Alfred Nobel. And he, exactly. And he realized that people, there was a different person with the last name Nobel who passed away, and they published his obituary, and it was discussing how he created a weapons of war, a way to destroy and kill. And he realized that his entire legacy was that people were going to remember him as a man who created weapons. And that's why he went and endowed a $1 million prize for people in various fields in order to engage, in order to take the next step forward. Sometimes it takes those moments where we could see and recognize what was and what we've accomplished in order to recognize what will be. And it's very rare that we have those moments. The Torah describes both Seirim, the Torah uses Shaleach four times, just as many times as used the word Azazel. This seems to indicate that there's a correlation between the Seir Azazel and this concept of Shlichos. The term Seir HaMishtaleach comes up significantly more in Chazal. Seir HaMishtaleach appears 60 times in the Gemara, whereas an Azazel only makes a lone appearance in the Gemara. The Yerushalmi says Azazel appears only once. Same thing with the Rambam. This term only appears once. Whereas a Mishtaleach appears 18 times in the Yerushalmi and 16 times in the Rambam. Chazal canonized Tanakh place an emphasis on Mishtaleach as opposed to Azazel. Naturally, we accept the synonymous term to be used equally, but we see that the Torah itself emphasized there's a shlichos that we have. There's a role, there's a representation that we have for ourselves, for our community, for our people. Chazal so strongly leaned one way to show us the importance that we're shlichim, we're representatives of our people, we're on a mission, we're here to represent something bigger. Chazal's hinting to the hidden meaning of life, and the lesson that the Seir HaMishtaleach is teaching each and every one of us. There's a true beauty and importance to each and every person to go out, to find their calling in life, to maximize their time in the Beit Midrash, to maximize their time as you set out, before you set out on your journey. This is a time to build a foundation, to fill your sack before it's too late, because this is what's going to shift your journey. What happens now, what we feel now, is the preparation that then affects every step we take on our journey outside. And the idea dafka shows up with Seir HaMishtaleach and the drawing of lots for Klal Yisrael to impress the importance and understanding that Klal Yisrael truly zakuk to each and every one of you. Klal Yisrael needs each and every one of you. Klal Yisrael needs every single person sitting at this table because each and every one of you have a unique talent, a unique trait. You have abilities that no one else has. Every single person here has something that someone else cannot and will not do because you're uniquely you. Bishvil lech nivra ha'olam. Because of you, the world was created. The Kotzker famously said, he to try to balance this, he had, on one hand, you have to represent this gaiva, this godless Adam. The world was created for you. The Kotzker famously said that he always carried him a petek, he had a note in one pocket, Bishvili nivra olam. For me, the entire world was created, whereas in the other pocket it said, Afar v'yefar anochi, I'm nothing but dust and dirt. There's a balance that we have to recognize, and that's what the Seel HaZazel is teaching us. On one hand, it was worth creating the world just for you, because you bring something unique to the table that no one else does. But on the other hand, you're a member of a community, you're a member of Klal Yisrael who need you, who are zakuk to you. And right now we're filling our bag, we're creating the foundation for a lifelong shlichut, representing ourselves, our families, our nation, in order to better the world. And sometimes we don't recognize that until it's too late. Right now is a moment to take a second before we walk into Yom Kippur. Where do I want to be next year? What do I want my year to be? The Seir Lazazel is giving us a moment to say, we want to maximize and actualize our hidden potential. Reveal our abilities. Recognize that which we have. Because we have an opportunity. We have talents. We have skills. We have blessings that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you that no one else does. And this is something when we discuss the world of Tshuva, the Piazetzner, Rav Kleinimus Kalman, Shapiro, the Esh Kodesh, who passed away, Hashem Yikum Damo, was killed in the Holocaust. The author of the Esh Kodesh, Chovas Tamidim, and Achsharas Avrechem, and others. He writes, how do we do tshuva? He has a beautiful chiddush. He writes this in other places, also similar to Noam Elimelech and Tzitel HaKatan. The Piazetzner explains that what tshuva does, it's engaging the imagination. What we do with tshuva is we don't beat ourselves, chatati, avi, tipashati. We don't say Hashamnu Bagadnu. We open our mind and say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is where I've been last year. Where do I want to get next year? Piazetzner explains, the Esh Kodesh, Hashem Yikum Damo, says, the way we maximize our Yom Kippur is by asking ourselves the question, where do I want to be next year? Open your imagination. Open the door, open the box. Who are you? Where do you want to be? Because that's the way to do it. You have to ask yourself, where should I be next year? What do I want to accomplish by next year? I want to finish Tanakh. I want to finish this many parakim of Mishnah. I want to accomplish this. I want to be a better child. I want to be a better spouse. I want to be a better friend. How much do I want to accomplish? What do I want to accomplish? Next Erev Yom Kippur, what's in my bag? What am I walking into Yom Kippur next year with that I don't have now? Because we're representing right now is our time to fill our bags before we leave our journey. Bezrat Hashem, we should be zocha that over the course of the year we should maximize and recognize our true potential and fulfill Bezrat Hashem, our shlichos, not only for ourselves and for our families, but for all of Klal Yisrael. Amen.